So what do you think Aaron Rodgers meant by he's going to make Zach Wilson's life heaven off the field? Like, he's got some contacts, some moms he's going to hook him up with. Like, what's that all about? Is that the weirdest thing you saw today so far?
Maybe Aaron Rodgers is trying to adopt Zach Wilson and date his mom.
Ooh, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, who knows? I got nothing.
Okay, so now we've talked about the weirdest news of the day, right? I mean, that's such a strange comment, but like,
yeah,
that's so Aaron Rodgers, I guess. It's the way
you know, it's like, it's like Costanza driving away, being like, "Jerk store, it was jerk store." Like that's the line. Like, it's he's known that Zach Wilson has made this comment about making life hell for whoever the veteran quarterback is going to be. He made that comment like 4 months ago or something. Right. Like, it's been out there for a long time. And it's like he tried to construct his retaliation to that comment for too long, and then he came up with something that didn't make any sense. Like, I don't really know what Rodgers was going for there. It was just a really, really weird thing to say.
Maybe he came up with it during his darkness retreat, John. That could very well be it.
Was it Who like knows? Fueled by peyote and incense? Like, I'm not sure where that comment came from.
Dude, who knows? Who knows? Guys, welcome to the Dynasty Diehards. This is like, it's like Christmas Eve for us, man. The NFL draft is coming. We're repping our boys today on the show. He's got the Justin Fields jersey. I've got my lovely TJ Watt jersey that I'll have you know I got in the Pittsburgh airport for $210. Had I been drinking the entire day before I got dropped off at the airport?
Absolutely.
Yes, I had. Yes. Jen bought a pair of Steelers cons at the airport. So
wow.
There you go, right? She's never worn them. Go figure.
Mine's a compliment of NFLShop.com and their free one-day delivery right now leading up to the draft. So, no, not a sponsor, but if they wanted to sponsor, we would absolutely
love 100%. We'll take any, any reasonable sponsor. Probably not like Adam and Eve or anything, but like reasonable sponsors, you know? So let's go to the chat real quick. We got Brad Bolt in the chat. Hey, fellas, welcome to Christmas Eve, man. Thank you, Brad. We are really stoked for this draft, and it's going to get crazy, John. It is going to get crazy. But before we get into the draft, let's get into some NFL news and notes. I wish I could type that fast. It would make my career as a writer just all that much easier, right? So the first thing we're going to get into here, guys, the obvious, we've already talked a little bit about it. The trade's final. Aaron Rodgers is a New York Jet. It finally happened. If you haven't heard the compensation, Aaron Rodgers, a 2023 first round pick, which is the 15th overall, and a 2023 fifth round pick, number 70 overall, comes from the Packers to the Jets. The Jets get, I mean, John, this is kind of a haul. They get a 2023 first round, number 13. So they move up two slots. A 2023 second round pick, which is number 42. A 2023 sixth round pick, which is 207. And then they get a 2024 second round that's conditional on Aaron Rodgers making 65% of snaps. If he takes 65% of the team's snaps, that becomes a first round pick for the Jets. And like we talked about before the show, both teams got what they wanted, right? Like, that's the important thing. It's like in Dynasty, you can talk who won, who lost, but these teams are going to be able to fill needs with what they got out of this trade.
Yeah. I mean, I think both teams got exactly what they wanted out of this. They've been wanting to get this trade done for what feels like months. It's a lot to give up, man, for an old quarterback. Like, he's going to have to play like an MVP caliber quarterback for this deal to really make sense for the Jets. But they're ready to go. They've got a great young roster with a lot of elite young talent across the field, different positions. They're ready to go. And I know Rodgers is trying to downplay it today. He's like, I'm not a savior. I'm just going to be a great quarterback. It's like, bro, you're going to New York. Like, this is New York media that you're talking to. You are the savior for the franchise. That is how they are going to look at you through and through. So you better deliver. Like, if you don't, you thought you had life rough in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You're in New York now, dude. Like,
right.
So back page of the New York Post, you're going to get eaten alive. Like, it's going to happen.
Daily. Daily, you get eaten alive
every day.
So, well, and I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting where he said today, he says, look, I'm not looking past the 2023 season. I don't know if I'm going to play past 2023. So if the Jets had to know this, I'm assuming, right? Like they had to know that he wasn't going to plan on. So there, this is a win today acquisition for them. This isn't a 2-year plan to where like we'll be good in 2023, but we're going to get the bucket in 2024 and win that ship. This is a win the ship in 2023. Are they even the best team in their division right now, though? I mean, honestly, if you look at it.
I think you can make a real argument that they are. I think Buffalo has a great roster. I think they're going to continue to address some of the holes to the draft and that they still deserve the crown for being the best team in that division. But the Jets have a good roster, man. Like they've been building like crazy. They're in prime position to potentially land you know, a stud offense alignment in this draft to potentially protect Rodgers, or maybe even they look at moving up in this draft to make sure that they're getting one of these top tackles. I don't know. Like, there's so many ways that they can go about it, but they've got a really good roster. I can really see them making some noise, especially with Rodgers. I mean, this is the best wide receiver core that Rodgers has played with in a really long time. Sure. Like Devontae Adams was elite, like stud of studs, but in terms of well-rounded group, especially they could even look at adding another one in the draft that can really play a serviceable role. They're ready to go.
Sure, sure. So we're going to go to the chat here. Nick Pentecoff, what is up, my friends? Nick, thank you so much for tuning in. Now, he says this is where he's got this division. And I can't say that I necessarily disagree with him, John. Buffalo, then Miami, then the Jets, then the Pats last. This is kind of how I've had it pegged since we heard that this was even going to be a trade. Obviously, the Jets go to the bottom if – Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and they have to go back to mama Zach Wilson. It's just an interesting, scenario here. We've got Herms in the chat. What up, buddy? Rodgers chose to wear the great Kenny Pickett's number. Therefore the Jets are the best team. I mean, I can't argue with that logic as a part-time Pittsburgh Steelers fan here. It is interesting. He won't be wearing the number 12 though.
Yeah. I think it was actually a really nice thing for him to do, to give a tip of the cap to Joe Namath, right? Like Namath said all the right things, gave him permission and all that. But I think it's really nice for him to not try to come in and just take that legacy away. So I actually think it was kind of a cool, thoughtful moment from Rodgers, which is, you know, uncharacteristic. It was actually very thoughtful of him to come in and be like, I'm not going to do number 12. We'll go back to my college number 8. Kind of a fresh start moment for him too, right?
Sure.
Like, turn the page. Like, let's move on. Yeah.
Yep. I can see that. Okay. So the next thing I want to talk about, and I'm sure that you've seen this over the last couple of days, apparently Will Levis's uncle's brother's barber's third cousin-in-law's nanny posted on Reddit that Will Levis said he knows for sure he's going in the first round. There's no, first of all,
not the first round, first overall.
First pick. No? Well, yes, yeah. Levis is going in the first round. They're saying he's going first pick overall. Now, obviously this source is crap, right?
Yeah.
But then we've heard other chatter where Carolina does like Will Levis, and there's been chatter that he could possibly go one. Do you buy any of this, or is this just GM coach speak leading up to the draft?
No, I don't buy it at all. I think Bryce Young is locked in, written in pen to be their pick, and he should be. Yeah. Will Levis, the thing is, this whole thing came out on Reddit, and I wanted to pull up the latest odds to make sure that we're speaking accurately here. As of right now, his odds to go first overall are still down at plus 800, which is still substantially lower than they were before that Reddit post came out. He was like 3 days ago, he was like plus 5,000 to go first overall. And then he got down to like plus 2,500 or so.
Yeah.
And then he got all the way down to like plus 500, I think it was, is the lowest that I saw after that Reddit post. And now he's just creeped a little bit back up, but he's still hanging out like way too low. I almost got Bryce Young at around like minus 700 to go first overall. I was watching it and I'm like, oh, if he gets any closer, I'm just going to drop $20 on it. Like, no problem. Because to me, it's just a slam dunk that he's going to be the first overall pick. But you never know in the NFL draft. Weird things happen every year.
And I don't think he's a slam dunk necessarily to go first overall. But I would put my money there. Now, I did put some money down on Anthony Richardson, just because the odds are ridiculous. And this is David Tepper, Frank Reich, and the Carolina Panthers. This team could, who knows what they do, what they could do. But I mean, let's be honest. And like Nick Pentecoff says in the chat, I mean, it's Bryce Young. He's the 101. I mean, plain and simple. So forget about this Levitz crap. If you have some expendable money that you want to throw, just cross your fingers and pay that it pays off. Bet on Will Levitz or Anthony Richardson. You can do it. But the smart money here is on Bryce Young. I mean, it just makes the most sense, right?
I would say, and we've talked about it before, that them bringing in Andy Dalton on a two-year deal gives them some flexibility if they do feel like they want to take someone who needs a little bit of time to adjust. So, I mean, before all the smoke over the last, you know, month or so, I thought there was a chance that Anthony Richardson was going to be their guy when all this happened, where they were trading up with Chicago for that first overall pick. It kind of made sense, right? They gave Andy Dalton decent money for 2 years. They have a good bridge quarterback in place. Maybe it is. So, I mean, if you want to just put a couple bucks on plus 5,000 odds, which is what Anthony Richardson is right now, I'm not going to tell you not to.
Yeah,
like exactly. Those odds are ridiculous. So,
yeah. I think we did talk about it on this show about Anthony Richardson could be a possibility with the Dalton signing, but I think that's becoming less and less of a thought. I think in most of the NFL world, we're seeing it reflected in Vegas. And guys, Vegas is going to most of the time tell you what the highest probability is because they don't want to lose money. They just simply don't want to lose money. Now, another interesting thing that kind of broke today is we've heard that the 49ers are actively pursuing Lamar Jackson. Do you think there's any truth to this, or is this, again, just the 49ers making noise ahead of the draft?
I believe basically nothing that happens the day before the NFL draft, like on the surface. That's just kind of my rule of thumb. It's going to be, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go, but I could see it happening because he's a difference maker, elite quarterback when he's on the field. You put him in a Kyle Shanahan system, like that's ridiculous. What he can do in the run game and the space that he can create, especially if he has an elite athletic quarterback, I think that's why they went out and they got Trey Lance in the draft when they drafted him, was to try and do that, try to put together an offense that can put defenses in a bind with an athletic quarterback. Well, Lamar Jackson is that. So if they're having those talks, it wouldn't surprise me. I think it would be very, very kind of out of left field for that to actually transpire if it did happen. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're at least having those discussions.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. Like, you've got to kick the tires on a player that caliber. And if you're going into the 2023 season saying, look, Brock Purdy's our guy, you kind of, I mean, you can't argue how good Lamar Jackson would be in that offense.
So one thing that I will say, though, is that they don't have their own first-round pick this year. So I don't know if they're actually capable of making that trade. Because of the tag that was placed on Lamar Jackson, it's two first-round picks that they have to give to Baltimore.
That's only if they sign him. They would have to sign him, but if they trade for him, it can be whatever compensation Baltimore is willing to take. It doesn't have to be two first-round picks.
It's so rare that we actually see an exclusive rights tag trade happen in the NFL that I'm not even like intimately familiar with the mechanisms of that trade happening. You know what I mean?
It just never happens. Same. It's very rare.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get more into the draft now, because we've already kind of teased it. NFL draft, baby. Yes. I am so excited for this. Here's my first question to you, John. Do we see five QBs come off the board in the first round? That means, did Hendon Hooker do enough to move into the first round of this draft?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a really good chance that this happens. He could go as high as the teens, honestly, with the way that the chatter has been. But I think at worst, you have a team that trades up late into the first round because it gives them an extra year of team control. Like, if you like him enough that you're thinking about him in the second round, then trade up into the late first round because you get that extra year of a first round draft pick of under team control with the option that they get, the fifth year option, right? Select him in the first round. So I think that it happens. I think that he's going to go late in the first round. He's doing everything that he can to show that he's, you know, a high character guy. He did all the right things throughout the pre-draft process, showing up to the Senior Bowl, even though he wasn't healthy enough, you know, taking interviews, all that stuff. His production was great. If he wasn't injured, I don't really think there would be much of a debate that he would be going in the first round based on what he did last year in Tennessee and the production that we saw. He could even be quarterback 3 in this class. You know, behind, in my opinion, it's Young and Stroud are the top two. All this talk about Levis being up there in that conversation, to me, he's a tier down. I don't see it. but there seems to be a major disconnect between the way that the NFL sees Will Levis and the way that the rest of us see Will Levis.
Right.
There seems to be just a lot of love for him. But I think Hendon Hooker would be in that conversation if he didn't have the injury that he had.
Well, I think the issue with Levis, and this has kind of been my issue with him, though not as bad, he reminds me of Zach Wilson. Like, dude with a cannon for an arm, but the decision-making isn't there. And that's been the issue with Zach Wilson. And, you know, 2 years in, when you're not seeing that change, obviously that becomes concerning enough that you trade for Aaron Rodgers. I think whoever takes Will Levis could be looking at a similar situation where in two seasons they're like, well, shit, this didn't work. Now we have to go out and get another quarterback because we put all our chips into this dude who hasn't improved his decision-making on the field. But that said, I still think he has a higher upside than Zach Wilson. So I'm not totally out on him, even in fantasy dynasty, depending on where he goes.
I think from a prospect standpoint, I would have preferred Zach Wilson over Will Levis. I think when you're looking at them as prospects, that's how I would have had it. I just think that Zach Wilson's confidence got absolutely rocked in the NFL, and I have a hard time thinking that he's going to regain it. But as like pure prospects coming out of college, I probably would have taken Zach Wilson over Will Levis. And all the talk about Will Levis having an absolute cannon of an arm, Stetson Bennett looked like he was throwing a better deep ball during the combine than Will Levis was.
Oh, and Stetson Bennett might go undrafted.
Yeah, so I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know what NFL evaluators are so in love with other than the fact that he looks like a franchise quarterback, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't really know what he does that is so special to warrant him being a top two pick, a top five pick. I don't know.
I don't really get it either. Now let's go back to Hendon Hooker here for a second. I want to see what you think of this scenario. I think Seattle takes him at 20 if he's still there, or maybe they trade back and take him back in the, here was my reasoning. I said this on the In-Between show last night with Seth and Andrew Hall, is that this is a perfect situation for a guy like Hendon Hooker. He's not going to be 100% when the season starts. He's not going to be able to start. So a team that needs an immediate starter is not going to take him.
Right.
Right. Makes sense. It's why he's fallen so far back. Seattle doesn't need an immediate starter, but they know they've got 1 to 2 years left to Geno Smith. And then they're probably going to move on because, I mean, let's be honest, Geno Smith's a little bit older. Yep. Now, granted, he doesn't have the wear and tear that some of these other guys have, but we don't know if last season was an aberration. We don't know if Geno Smith can do that again. We've never, that was like an almost historically efficient season from Geno Smith. I don't think he can repeat it. I still think he'll be good, but they can get Hendon Hooker 20 or later in the first round. They can even get him at 37 in the second round if he slips that far. And now you've got a guy to sit behind Geno Smith for a season to two seasons. He can get healthy. He can get familiar with the offense. And he's a similar quarterback to Geno Smith. Really, if you go back and look at Geno Smith at West Virginia, they both have cannon arms. They're both very accurate. They don't make a lot of mistakes on the field, and they're mobile enough to give defenses fits. Now, they're not Lamar Jackson mobile. They're not Justin Fields mobile. They're not Josh Allen mobile, but they're mobile enough. They're like, I'd say Kenny Pickett mobile, maybe that's a fair comp to it. Like, they can get out of the pocket and do stuff, but you're not going to design a run game around them. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. And there's a lot of teams that are in similar situations where this is why I think that it's pretty likely that we see him get into the first round. It could be a really late first round pick, like a trade up. Like that could happen, but there's teams, let's say Detroit is able to trade down off their 18th overall pick. What if that's a scenario where they really like Hendon Hooker? They know that they've got Jared Goff. They want to move down off 18 because some team wants to come up for a wide receiver that's available there, or whatever the situation might be. If they're able to negotiate a trade down, maybe they take him. Seattle for sure. Minnesota at 23.
Sure.
That's a possibility.
And that's why I think if Seattle wants him, they've got to take him at 20.
Yep.
Because Minnesota wants him too. And I think it's pretty well known. Now, will Minnesota actually pull the trigger on that? We don't know. But if I'm Pete Carroll and company, I'm not risking it. If he's the guy I want, I take him at 20. I think they address defense at the number five pick, which we'll get to that a little bit later. I just wanted to throw this comment from Herms in the chat because it's one of the funniest things I've read all day. The fact that any cell phone autocorrect confuses Levis for a pair of jeans says everything you need to know. So Will Levis, Levi's jeans, shaking hands over here on your cell phone, right?
All the time. It took about a month And now my phone doesn't do the autocorrect anymore. I've typed it too many times.
Grammarly caught it pretty quick. So fortunately for me, it doesn't show up in my writing. Now let's get on to the second kind of thing I want to talk about here. Is Will Anderson or Tyree Wilson the first defensive player off the board? Because we've been hearing chatter that he might go to the Texans. If the Texans like him enough to take him at that second pick, if they don't trade out. And I read today, it doesn't sound like they're getting a whole lot of interest in that number two pick. So they might not be able to trade out of it.
Yeah. A month ago, I thought this was just locked in that Carolina was going to go probably Bryce Young and that CJ Stroud was going to go second to Houston. Yep. Like that's just how everyone had it. That was just the assumption. It doesn't look like that's taking place anymore. So if they're going to stand at two with the D'Amico Ryans looking to construct his defense and get a cornerstone on the defensive side of the ball, to me, it should be Will Anderson. If you're not going to go quarterback, which I think is a mistake, I think you should be going quarterback at two. But if you're deciding that you're not going to, get Will Anderson. He was the polished prospect coming out of high school, went to the biggest program in the country at Alabama, and did nothing but produce for three straight years. Right. Dude is an elite defensive player who has the production and the profile and the athleticism and like everything that you want out of that player. He's that. So to me, that should be him. Tyree Wilson, also very, very good prospect, is had a real late surge up draft boards because of his athleticism, really is what brought it up. So he could be the pick there. But to me, the D'Amico Ryans tie to Alabama, you know, he went to Alabama and he loves Alabama players, and Nick Caserio has ties through Alabama. Like they just, sure. It all fits Alabama. Like it just, everything's coming up Bama. To me, it should be Will Anderson. I think that's the way that they're probably leaning, but this draft could get really weird, man. Like this could go in so many different directions, and it very well could be Tyree Wilson that goes second overall.
So
or Tyree Williams, sorry.
If he goes second overall, does Will Anderson fall all the way to six to the Lions?
It's a possibility. I struggle to think that he would get past five, but I could see it happening. There's been a lot of mocks out there that have actually put it at Seattle looking at corner and looking at a Christian Gonzalez type who's long and super athletic. And
sure.
You have him and Tariq Woolen, and all of a sudden you've got two uber athletic stud corners on both sides of the field. And remember, this is the team that had the Legion of Boom, and it's still John Schneider and Pete Carroll. It's the same duo that's been there for what feels like forever.
Right.
They love those athletic corners. So I think there's a world where that could be what they look at doing. I think that the pick should be Will Anderson if he does get to five. But, man, if he falls into the laps of Detroit at six, God, that's just – they've got a mate. Like, that's just a locked-in pick for them that they would run up and make. It'd be no question.
Well, now, remember in our last mock draft, we had Jalen Carter at five, and then we had Tyree Wilson at six to Detroit. So at least we think it's possible. I can see a world where Jalen Carter goes ahead of Tyree Wilson. I mean, it's not the craziest thing in the world. Now,
He should, like, if it wasn't for the off-the-field stuff.
Right, which is why
I think about Jalen Carter at number two, probably.
Well, and we'll talk more about Jalen Carter, but I have a sneaking suspicion he is going to go five to Seattle. But first, I want to talk about everybody's favorite running back, John, Mr. Bijan Robinson. There's been – so a friend of mine, Nicholas Hoove, mm-hmm. has been pounding the table for him to go eight to Atlanta. Now, it makes sense from a personnel standpoint because you're looking at a coach, Arthur Smith, who wants his Derrick Henry, and that's certainly not Tyler Algier. That's the kind of offense he wants to run. He wants to pound the ball on the ground. Do you think there's a chance Atlanta does take him at eight?
I really think that there is. I don't think that this is smoke and mirrors. I think that this is definitely a possibility for them at eight. I think exactly what you said. You have the Arthur Smith connection there. He's really good at and familiar with constructing an offense around a elite running back that can stay on the field and touch the ball 300 times in a season. That's Bijan Robinson. He's never has to come off the field. He's elite in the passing game also, which is an element that Derrick Henry never really had much of. You know, like he started to get more and more kind of short dump off targets as his career started to progress. But early on, he was really a like two down running back, right? Yep. Bijan is a do everything back. His yard per target, I think, is around like 6, which most running backs that are good are in like the 2 range in this draft class. He's just capable of doing everything that you want out of a running back. I think that it's absolutely a possibility at 8 that they look at bringing in a running back that is going to alleviate pressure off of a developing quarterback, which is what they currently have. I think if we're also looking at a draft possibility of CJ Stroud sliding, which we just keep hearing more and more about, that he could be looking at a Justin Fields type slide on draft night. What if Stroud's on the board at 8? What if he's sitting there for Atlanta? Do you think that they pulled the trigger on CJ Stroud? I would think that they would have to. Like, in my opinion, if you have Stroud falling to 8 and your quarterback is Desmond Ridder, I'm sorry, they're not in the same tier of prospect.
No.
Like, not even remotely close. I think you have to seriously entertain that thought if you're Atlanta and he's sitting there on the board.
I think you do too. I really think you do. I just, honestly, dude, I cannot see him falling that far. I think if he's there at 4, Indy takes him.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'm literally decked out in Justin Fields and Chicago gear. What happened during his draft? Carolina, who was
having
nothing, decided that they were going to take a corner instead of Fields. The very next pick, Denver Broncos, who were coming off the Drew Lock experiment.
Remind me.
Also went corner and Justin Fields slipped. So like it could absolutely happen.
It
shouldn't. He should be the second overall pick, but it could very well happen where he's available at 8.
There's this stupid stigma where everyone thinks that Ohio State quarterbacks suck. Like, look, not everyone's Kirk Herbstreit, okay? Yeah. Like, there are guys that are coming out of this program who can't play quarterback. For all you youngins out there who don't know, ESPN analyst Kirk Herbstreit was a quarterback at Ohio State. Wasn't he? I think he was like a top 5 pick. And he just...
4?
I think he was 4. I think he was the 4th pick. Well, I know somebody here who likes CJ Stroud to Atlanta. It's our friend Richard Sickles. I agree with you, man. CJ throwing to Pitts in London would be just very sexy. Also want to shout out Mr. Scampers in the chat. Good afternoon, y'all. Our favorite fantasy cat. Cannot wait to meet you in Canton in August. Thanks for tuning in, guys. So I just pulled it up here, dude. And Bijan Robinson in 2022 averaged 16.5 yards per reception. That's ridiculous.
As a running back.
As a running back.
That would be a great number for a wide receiver.
That would be a phenomenal number for a wide receiver.
Like, and that's...
Now, he only had 19 catches. But 314 yards on 19 catches, that's the kind of pass-catching back that would do very well in a system like Atlanta, but would do even better in a system like Chicago or Philly, in my opinion.
So let's talk about it. So Bijan, elite running back. He'd probably be like my third ranked player in this draft. I would probably have Bryce Young at 1. I've finally flip-flopped on Bryce Young and CJ Stroud enough to the point where I think that Young is an elite processor. And I'm not saying this just because of the testing number that came out for CJ Stroud, but Bryce Young is so good at thinking the game of football and makes all the right reads. I put him at the number 1 player in this draft. I'd put Will Anderson as the number 2 player in this draft, and I'd put Bijan Robinson at 3. He's that good of a football player. It's just how do you value the running back position? So then you've got these reports coming out this week that NFC teams are just terrified of the prospect of him making it to Philly at 10. So let's play the hypothetical, because if it's not 8 to Atlanta, then all of a sudden the door kind of opens up, right? Chicago's on the clock at 9. Bijan's a possibility there. You know that Philly is at 10. And if Philly's not trading up or moving around or whatever they're looking to do, and you never know what Howie Roseman's going to do. If they're staying pat at 10, Chicago's on the clock at 9. If I'm Ryan Poles, I'm working the phone to these other teams going, hey, if you want to make sure that Philly, who is just in the Super Bowl, does not add an elite running back to this squad and just become an a force on offense that defenses have no answer for, you better be moving up. So who wants it? Who wants in? And we were texting about it. And what was the scenario that I texted you?
Oh, geez, I'll have to go back to my text and look here, John. But I did like it. It was an interesting one. You could just tell me, but you're going to make me actually go through my text messages here. So what you said, Dallas moving up.
Yeah. Jerry Jones, who just moved off of Ezekiel Elliott, who loves his running backs, who loves his playmakers, period, who hates the Philadelphia Eagles. If there's a world where Bijan is on the board at 9, Philly's picking 10, and Jerry Jones is sitting there, he's the type of wild card that I could absolutely see making a move to be like, I am not letting this happen. I am not letting Bijan Robinson go in our division to the Eagles, and we are all of a sudden the little brother in the division for the next 5 to 7 years.
Sure.
Like, I could see him just – one, it would make sense for their team because Bijan's elite, period, mm-hmm. end of story, and he loves elite playmakers. Tony Pollard best served, in my opinion, as that complimentary back. Kind of a do-everything piece that doesn't need to carry the ball 300 times in a season. But if they trade up and take Bijan to make sure that they get the best player on the board, but that they also take the best player on the board at a direct position in need away from the Eagles, I could totally see Jerry Jones making that trade.
I could 100% see it. It's too bad they don't have a good quarterback. That would just really round things out, right? All right. And can you, dude, can Shots you believe fired. We were talking about him slipping to the back end of the first round? Like, could Bijan end up in Buffalo? Could he end up in – I always want to call him San Diego. Could he end up with the Chargers? And now it's like, well, he's gone by 10. He has to be gone by 10.
It kind of looks like it. Now,
yeah,
he is a running back, and you never know what's going to happen on draft
sure.
night. So to me, if he gets past Chicago, because Chicago is looking at addressing more of a position in need instead of addressing just taking best player available, because he's best player available on the board, period.
Oh, yeah.
If he gets past Chicago, if somehow he gets past Philly, which I think would be a surprise – then all of a sudden you start looking at the board and you're going, where is he going to kind of land? Would Houston take him at 12? They don't have a good enough roster, in my opinion, to kind of make that move for a running back. Chicago really doesn't either, if I'm being honest. So where does he slot in? New England at 14? That'd be kind of gross. Like, that'd be disgusting.
That wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah. So then all of a sudden it goes from, well, he's a locked in top 10 pick to he could slide. And you never know where that slide could end.
He could be back at 23, 24, 25, 26. Yep. Maybe happen. Dallas doesn't have to move up for him.
Maybe not.
I mean,
I don't know.
What if, John, now I'm going to preface this with saying there's no world in which I actually think this would happen, but because this is the NFL draft and no one saw A.J. Brown getting traded to the Eagles last year, right? Like,
yeah.
who thought that Tennessee was like, we'll go with Treylon Burks. It'll be fine. We don't need A.J. Brown. We don't need a generational talent, A.J. Brown. What if Carolina moved up to take Bijan Robinson and they're just not saying anything? What if they're like
– first overall?
What if they're like, we want our Christian McCaffrey? We feel like we can do enough with Andy Dalton and Bijan Robinson is that dude, and we don't want the Texans or somebody to be an absolute wild card and snag him before we get a chance to grab him, and we're going to take him at 1.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think this is a realistic scenario. I don't either.
Right.
But I'm just throwing it out there. The NFL draft
is a weird one.
And this is the Carolina Panthers, man. David Tepper, I wonder sometimes where his marbles went. I think he's got like 3 or 4 left out of the whole bag. He seems to just be absolutely nuts. But let's get off Bijan. I feel like go ahead.
The Pittsburgh Steelers selected running back Bill Dudley first overall in the 1942 NFL draft. And I'm pretty sure that is the last time that a running back went first overall.
Didn't Adrian Peterson go first overall? I feel like Adrian Peterson was a first overall. I could be completely wrong.
Did my brain just like stop moving? Because I just looked it up and it didn't pull up all of his. I feel like that would be top of the board here if I Googled it. Did Adrian Peterson go first overall?
I don't. That's a good question. While you're looking this up, now we've talked a lot.
Just stopped working.
Oh, dude, it happens to me daily. So we've talked about a lot of moves.
He was seventh.
He was seventh. That does make
you just like sense. Literally made me blush. I'm like, oh my god, did I really just not know that Adrian Peterson was the first overall draft pick? Like I was. Oh man,
I did my job for today. My brain's mush all the time.
Okay.
Okay, right, so now we've talked about a lot of moves happening in this draft. So I want to ask you, over under on trades in the first round.
I'm putting it at 4.5. It's really weird. Recently, trades in the top 10 of a draft haven't really happened. They always happen kind of before the draft starts. And if you're looking at the picks right now, that's currently the case. 5 of the first 10 picks don't belong to the team who owns that draft slot.
Right.
Because the trades that have happened either in previous years or, you know, the Carolina trade for Chicago that got them the first overall pick. But other than that, the first 10, these teams, if they want one of those picks really early, typically it's something that happens before the draft starts. Now, we've been hearing so much about Houston and Arizona looking to potentially trade out. I'm getting a little nervous that it hasn't happened yet because I feel like it should have. If someone wanted to move up into the top 3 to take one of these quarterbacks, I kind of feel like that should be something that has already happened. Now, I think the Jared Goff trade with the Rams happened draft morning that day, I believe. That the Rams moved up early in the day. So maybe there's something that happens tomorrow morning or something could literally happen any minute. I don't know. But I'm starting to get nervous that movement hasn't happened if one of these teams does want to come up to take a quarterback. So I don't really know. But I do think because this draft is so wide open and there's not just like 25 blue chip talent players.
Sure.
It's more like kind of 7 to 10 really, really top tier players. And then I feel like there's a bit of a drop off. And then I think you're going to have teams that are jockeying for positional need more than anything. Sure. I think you're going to have teams that are looking at this going, well, I really want that defensive lineman. I really want that corner. I really want that wide receiver, whatever it is, because they're not looking at their board saying, I'm good with one of these 8 guys falling to us. You know what I mean? So yep. I think you're going to have a lot of position specific potential moves that take place tomorrow night, but it might not be in the top 10. It might be kind of those teens
in the back. Yeah. And the teens and 20s. I'm kind of with you there. I'm setting mine at 3.5. I don't think there are going to be as many, I think. And I'm probably taking the under on that and hitting the 3. I think we love to talk about a lot of movement and the GMs like to kind of be shady about, well, we might do something. We might, but then nothing happens. And we've seen it before, but I also wouldn't be surprised if we see like 6 or 7 trades once we get back, like things 15 and beyond, just because this is such a weirdly talented, loaded at some positions, not loaded at others, like linebacker draft. So, all right. So you're at 4.5. I'm at 3.5. Now we're going to talk about a trade that has happened. Packers move up 2 spots. Who do they take? Because a lot of people, myself included, thought that there was a chance they went after Dalton Kincaid with that 15th pick. I don't think they're going to take him at 13. But
yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe. I almost think we've been hearing so much about Dalton Kincaid as being the like uber athletic tight end and a real pass catching tight end. What if their flavor is Michael Mayer? Like, what if that's the way that they want to go to the tight end position? And maybe it's a little bit early for them, but they've done the trade now. We know it's not Rodgers. We know it's Jordan Love that's coming in. We know that they have a bevy of youth at the wide receiver position that can develop and can play. What if Michael Mayer gives them flexibility at the tight end position for someone who can really block and really help out there in the run game, which they have 2 very good running backs, and can also be a very natural, friendly pass-catching option for Jordan Love. So what if that's their flavor of tight end, and what if that's the way that they want to go at 13? I don't think that it would be unheard of at all. I don't think that that would be way too rich for them to take one of these tight ends. They got in front of New England, and I'm kind of looking at this, and I keep going, why was it so important for them and the Jets to trade picks 2 picks apart? New England's the team in between the 2. So why are they trying to get in front of New England? Why is it so important to Green Bay? Maybe it's Jackson Smith and Jigba. Maybe they want to make sure that a wide receiver doesn't get snatched in front of them by the Patriots. maybe it's Michael Mayer, because New England apparently has an obsession with tight ends, and maybe they're afraid that maybe they got intel that they want to go another tight end, which would be dumb. I don't know. There's a lot of different directions I think that they could go with that pick, but it just doesn't make – it's confusing to me that the two teams felt the need to swap these firsts. You know what I mean? Like, they're only two picks apart, so why are they doing it?
That is intriguing that you bring up the wide receiver thing, John, because I took New England to take a wide receiver first. I can't remember what the odds are. I'd have to go back and look at the in-between show sheet. But that was one of my things, is I think they're going to take a receiver. Now, I think it's going to be Quentin Johnson if they're going to take a receiver, because I think they want that big body guy. They've already got some of those slight receivers, and they've got Mike Gesicki, who's, let's be real, is going to be a slot receiver in that offense. But maybe that's who they want. Maybe they want Quentin Johnson. But I think that's a really good point as to why they felt the need to jump New England. It could be a wide receiver. And, dude.
I know. As a Bears fan, I will cackle. I will howl if they finally take a first-round wide receiver, because that was the whole running bit for the last, 5 years.
Plus. Is there a bigger middle finger to Aaron Rodgers just after he, 2 days?
No.
2 days after he leaves town, they get him a first-round wide receiver. And, now Christian Watson was, nothing to shake a stick at here, right? But it's not the first-round receiver Rodgers begged for.
Yeah.
Begged for years. Instead, they took Jordan Love.
Yeah. I would be, and as a Bears fan, I will be so upset if Jaxon Smith-Njigba is in Green Bay, because he's such a good route runner.
Sure.
And if we're talking about needing a friendly target for Jordan Love, well, that's Jaxon Smith-Njigba fits that bill also, right? You're looking at a wide receiver that's going to operate a lot underneath and use his short area quickness and get a lot of separation and just be open all the time for Jordan Love. While the other young wide receivers that they have, I think, are going to operate more on the outside, Jaxon Smith-Njigba would make sense as a slot for them. So,
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe that's why they wanted to get in front of New England, is that they know that New England is leaning wide receiver, or they feel that very strongly, and they wanted to make sure that they could get their pick of the litter in front of them.
Okay, so now I want to bring up something that you threw on the show sheet here. Jets are reportedly eyeing Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Sure, today, sure. Right?
Like I said, I'm not believing hardly anything. But man, wouldn't that be something?
If that was something.
In addition,
well,
so do you buy it? Do you think that is a viable pick for them and something that they would look at doing?
I mean, if you look at their wide receiver core, they've got Garrett Wilson, they've got Alan Lazard, and then just a bunch of guys. Really?
Right.
And so, they're not going to have Breece Hall, at least not healthy, to start the season. He might start the season. He might be playing week one, but we know after this injury, he's not going to be 100% until we get to week 13, week 14, week 15, which is perfect for the fantasy playoffs. Not ideal in the real NFL world. So what? They're going to run with Michael Carter to start the season and Rashad Penny? Not Rashad Penny. Michael Carter. The green color screws me up, right?
Yeah.
So I could see this. I could see them targeting a wide receiver in the first round to pair with Garrett Wilson, because we know what Alan Lazard is.
Yeah.
He's the dirty work guy. He's the in-the-trenches wide receiver who's an exceptional blocker, who in the running game, you want him out in front of that running back, holding those cornerbacks and those safeties back, because he's got the size to do it, especially against the safeties when the running back gets into the secondary. But if they go out and get a guy like Jaxon Smith-Njigba in that offense, I mean, would that – possibly this would be the best receiving core he's ever had, Aaron Rodgers has ever had, right?
Oh, and it would just be stupidly fun to have Garrett Wilson and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Ohio State teammates, on the same offense. That would just be really, really fun.
Sure.
I mean, you would have to think that the whole coaching staff would be like, all right, so what route concepts did you guys run together at Ohio State? Just draw it on the whiteboard.
Yep.
Let's see what you guys did and cooked. And because they know how Garrett Wilson's speed can leverage a defender here and open up this spot for Jaxon Smith. You know what I mean? They would just go, okay, go to the whiteboard and draw some stuff and let's have some fun. And it almost makes sense. But I feel with the pick swap that they just did with Green Bay, I don't know how likely that is unless they're trying to trade up. I don't know.
And they could be looking to trade up.
Hey, teams have traded up for wide receivers in the first round a lot lately. Sure. They've been making those moves to be that's our dude. We want to go get him. And like you said, by trading for Aaron Rodgers and Rodgers saying he doesn't know what he's going to do after 2023, it's win now. So maybe they are just chips in and they're willing to try and flip with like
Chicago,
Tennessee, even Chicago. Yeah. Chicago would be,
I could see, and
Texas and Jigba's on the board at 9. I could totally see Chicago looking to trade down.
Well, cause what Chicago's going offensive line. If they trade back, that's a sign that they're going after. Now, this is something else you brought up that I hadn't seen. Philly's eyeing a trade up, possibly to get Paris Johnson.
Yeah.
So Pete Skoronski just sounds like a bear.
Oh, he's literally Skoronski.
Skoronski.
Yeah, Skoronski. So, a bunch of Southsiders with mustaches smoking cigars and drinking beers, eating Polish dogs, going, hey, did you see that block from Skoronski?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
real grinder out there. Yeah. Like,
you've got that down, man.
It just it needs to happen. But
they can get him. They can get him at 15.
Skoronski?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, dude. I've seen a lot of stuff that Skoronski and Johnson are gonna go pretty early. And the thing is, offensive linemen always get pushed up the board. Like talent wise, I think that Paris Johnson at 15 probably makes sense. I think Skoronski is number one offensive lineman on the board for a lot of people because he's just so like fundamentally sound. Now you have the questions about the arm length and is he a tackle or is he a guard? I don't know. I think he has potential to be a good tackle and a great guard. I think that's the way that it lines up for me because of the arm length. But as a technician, he's so clean that he's almost boring to watch. Like he's, and that's what you want. You want quiet offensive linemen, right? You don't want it to be dramatic and chaotic and all over the place. Just quiet and steady and do your work. And that's what Skoronski does. He's a lunch pail type of offensive lineman. But this is my biggest fear for Chicago is that they do trade down off 9, that they have a trade partner like the Jets want to come up to 9 to take Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Let's put that into the universe. That would, I don't know why Chicago would do Aaron Rodgers any favors, but anyways, let's say that they move down from 9 to 15. And then you have Paris Johnson goes at 10. Maybe they don't have to trade up for Paris Johnson. He falls into the lap of Philly at 10 and they take Paris Johnson. And then you have Houston maybe wants to address offensive line. Maybe Tennessee wants to address offensive line. And then all of a sudden you have Paris Johnson, Peter Skoronski, Darnell Wright, all off the board when you're on the clock at 15 for the Bears. And then all of a sudden you're going shit. Like, you know what I mean? And that's my biggest fear is that they trade down again and that they miss out on one of the offensive linemen. Maybe Broderick Jones is still sitting there at 15. And if they can trade to 15 and Broderick Jones is still on the board, I am thrilled with that pick.
Well, I think honestly,
don't know how this is going to shake out.
If Paris Johnson's gone, Pete Skoronski's gone, and Wright's gone, I think they're going to be fine because I think they can get Broderick Jones at 15.
But we've been hearing so much about Paris Johnson being on the mind of Arizona at 3. Like there's these offensive linemen could go high, and I think this is what we're talking about, right? If they're looking at doing a trade during the draft when they're on the clock, they're going to know what's already happened. So has an offensive lineman or two already gone before 9? If so, Chicago's probably staying at 9 and taking an offensive lineman.
Probably.
That would be how I would see it going. Or Jalen Carter, because if those offensive linemen go, maybe it pushes Carter to them at 9, and then they want to go that route. But if no offensive linemen have come off the board, that would mean all the defenders have come off the board. Carter, Will Anderson, Tyree, they would have all been off the board and all the offensive linemen are left, then maybe Chicago is okay with trying to move down a few spots and pick up an extra third round pick. Maybe that's what it would cost to add on top and move from 15 to 9.
We're going to know so much more in 25 hours and 11 minutes.
And I'm so done. I'm so done with the hypotheticals. Like I just need it to be here. I'm just ready to watch it all unfold and see it all play out.
This is our job. We have to do the hypotheticals. So we're going to go one more hypothetical to end the show here, John. Biggest surprise of day one. What is it going to be?
I think we're going to have a big swing by a team for a quarterback. I think that one of these teams is going to potentially see CJ Stroud slide and that a team is going to go, nope, I'm going to go get him. And that we're going to have a big move up from kind of a surprising place that and CJ Stroud slide at quarterback, or maybe it's Anthony Richardson or whatever. But I really feel like Stroud for some reason, it all feels like Justin Fields to me. It all feels that way.
Sure.
And I feel like Stroud's going to slide and it's going to break my heart. And then I think a team is going to move up like crazy. What if, now here's a real what if for you. What if Seattle passes on Stroud? What if they go defender? And then Stroud is falling into the 8, 9, 10 region. Does Seattle, having another first round pick, having the 20th, do they go, fuck it, we're all in and push in with the 20th and a first next year and, you know, a third or whatever the package of compensation would be to come from 20 to 10 and get CJ Stroud to partner with a stud defender that they take at 5. Like, I think we're going to see something weird like that happen.
I could see
if Stroud is sliding.
I can see it.
It will just shake up the entire draft.
Okay. So here's, I like that. And I think you're right. We're going to see a trade like that if Stroud continues to fall. So here's mine. All right. I think the Chargers trade up into the top 10 picks to get Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
My pants will be so tight if that happens.
Dude, you and me both, except for my Broncos fandom's not going to love that. But
no,
from a fantasy perspective, as a fantasy manager, I don't think there is, honestly, outside of Green Bay, a better landing spot. Now, I wouldn't put money on that happening. I don't think there's any books that would allow you to put money on that happening. But I think that's kind of where we're at. I could see it. This is about to be a crazy draft. An absolute crazy
draft. I think it's going to be completely chaotic. I think we're going to get about 5 picks in and everyone's going to rip up the script and be like, all right, no one knows what's going on. And we're just going to be in for 3 hours of utter chaos.
The leaning back with your popcorn gif.
Oh yeah. I'm just going to if the Bears do trade down off 9 though, I'm going to be stressed for about another hour after that. Because just watching the board shake out and be like, okay, what's on the board? What's going to be there for us? 15, 16, somewhere in that ballpark. There's been a lot of talk about Pittsburgh trading with Chicago. There's been a lot of smoke around that.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because Herms in the chat says it's worth mentioning the Steelers could easily move up for an offensive lineman. Herms is like the biggest Steelers fan I know. And he's a savant. If you're not following Herms, make sure you're following at Herms NFL on Twitter. And he's a full-time analyst for the lovely Draft Sharks, who he is hanging out with for the draft in Rochester. John, this has been fun, but you know what? I'm really excited for next week when we get to talk about where all these guys landed.
Oh God.
So much looking forward to it. That will be our show next week. We're just going to break down all these landing spots and what it means for fantasy. We'll have a full draft board to look at. Second round, third round, fourth round.
I just want to let the people know that I'm going to be putting together a spreadsheet of landing spots with draft capital. So follow me on Twitter at John Helmkamp. Sunday, once I've taken all the information from the draft and have organized it all and made sure that everything's accurate, I'll be tweeting that out for free so that everyone just has a copy of it and they know what all the landing spots and draft capital and if a player was traded up to be acquired, all that stuff. I think that's valuable for fantasy managers to know. We're going to get into it next week, man. Lots to talk about.
Yep. Well, you heard the man. Make sure you are following John on Twitter at John Helmkamp. Make sure you're following me at Nate Paulvogt on Twitter at FF Dino Diehards at Razzball. We'll see you next week. I stay loose. I stay hype. I stay loose. I stay hype. I stay loose. I stay hype.